Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to our show. It is such an exciting time of year with the NBA playoffs in full swing, and we have had the opportunity to witness some great team basketball by the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference Finals. And as a result, the Spurs are only the fourth team in NBA history to have a winning streak of at least 20 games. In fact, the Spurs won their last 10 games of the regular season and its first 10 in the playoffs. So it's been a lot of fun to watch, just the confidence, the balance, and of course, what's shining through is the experience. And we are delighted to welcome back one of the great basketball minds. We watch him on NBA TV. You can watch him every single year with the Chicago Bulls on the telecast as he is their game analyst. Our very own number 33, Stacey King. Welcome back, Stacey.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, let's get right to it. Let's zero in on those Western Conference Finals, because I tell you what, I really enjoyed what head coach Greg Popovich said in his message in that Game 1 timeout to his Spurs. He said he wanted the boys to bring some nasty. They have delivered on both ends of the floor. And my question to you is, what have you appreciated the most about San Antonio and what they've been able to accomplish at this point?
Well, they've always been a team that has relied on their system. They're not a team that's flashy. They don't have the bling per se like you see some of these other teams have. They just do it the right way. I mean, you know, watching the Spurs play is kind of like watching the Hoosiers. You know, they're fundamentally sound. They make the right basketball play. They don't worry about who's open, how many shots you miss. They hit the first open man you see, and it's been refreshing to watch. And I think the country's got a chance to really see what this is, what basketball's supposed to be like, and it's been exciting watching them.
Yeah, they certainly are playing winning basketball, but you really have to tip your hat to the focal point, and that's Timmy Duncan. I mean, a 15-year veteran in the league, and my goodness, he's 37 and he plays like he's 25. I know you have to appreciate that, Stacey.
Yeah, I do. I mean, he's done it. You know, it's funny when you say that, is because, you know, he's realized that, you know, when he first came there, it was David Robinson's team, and he, you know, gladly took a backseat to that. And then once David retired, he became the man. And the one thing you look at him now is his game has evolved. He realizes that he's not that number one option. He can still carry a team, but not like he used to.
Right.
And, you know, he's not afraid to let, you know, Tony Parker, you know, he'll even fit Tony Parker's team. And that's what a true champion is when they know that, you know, their game may not be the same way that it was when they were younger, that they can relinquish a role and not have egos. And that's one thing that's really cool watching this Spurs team. There's no egos. I mean, Manu Ginobili could be a star in this league on anybody else's team. He's happy being the sixth man coming off the bench. And, you know, winning championships, that's what it's all about, is guys accepting their roles for the betterment of the team. And you can see that those guys have done that.
Well, I have picked the San Antonio Spurs to win this series against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we are having a great conversation with Stacey King, Chicago Bulls game analyst. And Stacey, I know earlier this week on ESPN, you were asked this question, who is the greatest player of his generation? Because if Tim Duncan does win another championship, he and Kobe will have 5 rings. And I was really intrigued by your answer. Share with all of our listeners why you did pick Tim Duncan.
Well, you look at the two guys. I mean, it was really a tough question, because you can go with either guy. You know, Lakers fans are probably mad at me, but when you look at the body of work, you know, Tim Duncan has been steady his whole career, and you know, he's had to do it with I believe less talent. You know, he didn't have a Shaquille O'Neal. You know, he didn't have some guys that, you know, Robert Ory's and you know, Brian Shaw's and guys like that to help him win championships. You know, he's had, you know, a couple of guys here, a couple pieces there. But when you look at the body of work and what I say about, you know, when you compare the two, you know, Tim Duncan has realized that he's not that guy anymore. He's not the main guy. Yeah, and again, as I said earlier, he can carry you on certain nights, but he can't carry you every night like he used to. And his ego has not gotten in the way. There hasn't been any kind of, you know, situation where he refuses to change. You know, he knows that he had to change. He had to change his approach to the game. He had to change his off-season workout programs to be effective, to be able to keep this team, you know, at a certain level. But, you know, he relinquished that role and then gave it to Tony Parker. He said, "Hey, this is your team. You know, run with it. You know, you and Mono, you guys are the guys now." You know, I don't think Kobe has done that yet in L.A. I think he still wants to be the man. You look at the talent that he has around him this year. You know, Bynum and Gasol. You got two of the best big men in the league. They're two top 10, maybe top 5. You know, post players in the game, and for them not to be able to advance further in the playoffs, you know, Kobe's still taking 30 shots a game, you know, and he's still the Kobe that he was when he first came in the league. So he hasn't changed his role, and I don't think he's going to relinquish that role. And I think when you look at Tim Duncan, when you compare the two, you know, that's the mark of a champion, a guy that realizes that, you know, for the team to be successful, I have to change my approach. And I can't let my ego get in the way of what's going on, especially when I have younger talent around me that may be better than me right now, that may be able to carry this team further than I can carry it. I can relinquish that role and not let my pride get in the way.
Well, Tim Duncan, a two-time NBA MVP, and as you were sharing, Stacey, I mean, there are nights, he can carry the load offensively. He's a great rebounder, had 12 rebounds in Game 2 against Oklahoma City. We know his ability to score, but your assessment of him defensively?
He's one of the best. I mean, he's always been a very, very good defender. He's the anchor of their defense. You know, his offensive game may not be as explosive or powerful as it was when he first came in this league, but he's a wily veteran. He still can score on anybody in the league. You saw, I mean, his legs look fresh. I mean, he's probably the healthiest I've seen him in the last couple of years. Because normally San Antonio kind of fade, you know, they kind of flame out in the playoffs. They have good records during the regular season, and they kind of flame out a little bit. But this year, you know, their approach was totally different. Pop, you know, basically, you know, set them down a lot of games in this 66-game season. And I think from here on out, I think you're going to see coaches take that approach. But, you know, back to the point about Tim Duncan and his defense, you know, the one thing about when you're a guard and you know that if you get beat back door or your man beats you off the dribble, you know that there's a guy back there that's got your back and he's going to cover for you. And that's what Tim Duncan has done his whole career. He's been able to be that guy, and he's an anchor of their defense, and they are a very good defensive team. They don't get enough credit for being a good defensive team, but as you're seeing in this series, they're really causing, you know, Oklahoma City, who's a high-scoring offense, a lot of problems.
Yes, he does. Tim Duncan does a great job protecting the paint, but I want to zero in a little bit closer on San Antonio because as we have seen throughout the series and all season long, they're an offensive juggernaut. I mean, the prolific nature of the three-point shot. And my question to you, Stacey, is how does Oklahoma City solve that? Because they get it in a variety of ways, whether it's through, you know, post penetration and the kick out or dribble penetration, or they are so good at advancing the ball up the floor. You have got to bust your tail back and get back in defensive transition because they'll light it up from beyond the arc.
Yeah, they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. And, I mean, it's almost like, you know, everybody on their team can shoot threes. I mean, even Tim Duncan can take a couple threes and hit. He doesn't do it, but he can't shoot it. But
yeah,
they're a good shooting team. And the problem right now with Oklahoma City is that, you know, they're kind of running around and with chickens with their heads cut off, basically, because San Antonio is doing a great job of making the extra pass. If it requires San Antonio to make three or four passes, that's what they do. If they need to make a fifth pass, that's what they do. And in the NBA, normally defensively, after the second pass, you know, you can pretty much get whatever you want offensively because defenses break down. But when you get to this level when you're in the Western Conference Finals, you know, normally, you know, these teams are very good defensively. They have great defensive principles. They close out under control. But you're seeing a young Oklahoma City team right now that – I think that they really underestimated the Spurs. I think they really thought, you know, because they had the tougher, you know, time to get to the Western Conference Finals. You know, they beat L.A. They beat the Mavericks. And I think that they thought that the Spurs were not even on those, you know, on those two teams' level. And they've caught them off guard.
Well, the Spurs, another great point you bring up, Stacey, because they do play that team ball. You know, they value the possession, but they are willing to make the extra pass. But when you watch them in their half-court offensive set, just their symmetry and the spacing on the floor, I mean, they really...
That's the key.
Yeah.
Spacing. Their spacing never breaks down. If you look at the two teams, Oklahoma City plays a lot of isolation. And, you know, there's not a lot of spacing. So when a guy has the ball and he's trying to isolate... You know, everybody on the floor is so close that, you know, even if he has to pass it because he can't drive, you know, San Antonio is able to guard not only the guy with the ball, but they're able to get out and close out on the shooter because they're so close. But if you watch San Antonio, they do a great job of really, really, you know, exploiting that. I mean, they've got guys deep in the corner. They got guys at the top.
Yes.
I mean, everybody is spaced out, and they've been together so long that they have a feel for each other. It's almost like a ballet. You know, they know what everybody's going to do on the floor. They know when a guy's going to cut. They know when a guy's going to go to the basket and drive and kick. They're in the right spot. You know, and that's just a product of the system and great coaching.
And Oklahoma City, I mean, they have really struggled with the staggered, the double screens. I mean, San Antonio's bread and butter is that pick and roll, and they have been very efficient in the half-court offensive sets. I mean, how do you defend that?
Well, it's tough. You got to be very disciplined. And what's the problem right now with Oklahoma City is they're not having a problem scoring. The problem with Oklahoma City right now is that, you know, defensively, you know, you can't give up over 120 points and expect to win.
Right.
And they've got to do a better job defensively in the pick and roll, as you said. I'd like to see them trap a little bit more. I'm old school. I mean, we won championships by trapping stars and getting the ball out of superstars' hands. And the NBA has kind of gotten away from that because, you know, this is a copycat league. And, you know, when you see guys and the way they play defense, you'll see the pick and roll. You'll see guys try to push the ball to the corner and try to limit, you know, the dribble penetration and try to dictate where they want the ball to go. But when you've got great point guards like Tony Parkers and the Chris Pauls of the world, you know, that doesn't work against them because if you give them any kind of space, they're able to create a shot for themselves or create for their teammates. That's why it's almost, you almost have to double team them anytime they come off a pick and roll and get the ball out of their hands. And right now, Oklahoma City is not doing that. They haven't made that adjustment. And then when they have made the adjustment, the big guys from Oklahoma City are not getting up there quick enough, which is enabling, you know, Ginobili and Parker space to be able to split the trap.
Stacey King with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And we are talking about the NBA playoffs in Oklahoma City. They are, Stacey, as you have mentioned several times, they are looking for answers defensively. But the continued debate, I mean, we talked about this last year, is shot selection between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. When you got KD, he, my goodness, finished the regular season averaging 28 points per game, only the seventh player in the NBA history to capture three consecutive scoring titles. Why is he only getting 17 touches or 17 shots per game, and Russell Westbrook's taken 24 in game two?
Well, that's a good question. You know, that's something their coaching staff's going to have to address. But, you know, going back to game two, you know, they scored 88 points between the three of those guys, their big three. They had 88 points. On any given night, 95% of the time, if your three superstars score 88 points, you're going to win. But not against the San Antonio Spurs, not against a good defensive team. And if you watch the Spurs when they played the Clippers, you know, the Clippers' whole offense is based on lobs and, you know, angles. And if you watch that series, San Antonio took them completely out of everything that they wanted to run. Blake Griffin didn't get any, you know, if he got a dunk, it was like, you know, it was rare. I mean, they kept him out of the paint. He wasn't able to dive and get to the rim, and they got, you know, they did a great job of closing down the lane. And they're doing the same thing against Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City's biggest problem right now is not the fact that Westbrook is taking all these shots. This is Westbrook. That's who he is. He's been this way since he's been in Oklahoma City. He's not going to change. He's not going to make the adjustment in his game and be a truer point guard. So that's not going to happen. And he's not going to do it right now in the playoffs. The problem with Oklahoma City right now is that, you know, they're playing too much one-on-one basketball. And you're not going to beat a good team playing one-on-one basketball. They need to try to get Kevin Durant in the post and run him into the post a little bit. They did it a couple times in game two, and they had some success with it when he was in the post. They need to get him in the post a little bit more. They need to try to post up Tony Parker by using their big guards. Even if you put Westbrook down there and let him go down there and post up on the block to try to get a double team and force San Antonio to have to recognize that. And then, you know, you find your shooters. You know, James Harden. You know, I think they're better when James Harden comes in. He's their primary ball handler, but I'm not the coach. But, you know, just my assessment, I think the offense is much more freer. Guys get more involved. Seth Emosha is going to have to play more. He's going to have to get more playing time. He's going to have to score. And you've got to use, you know, Kendrick Perkins. You know, you just can't let him just be out there just setting picks and rebound him. You need to get him the ball down there. Throw him a bone a couple of times. Let him see if he can get Tim Duncan in foul trouble. Let him see if he can take advantage and get you some easy buckets. Right now, the Spurs are making Oklahoma City work for everything that they get. Every shot that is taken by Oklahoma City is contested. Every shot that's taken, they have to work for it. And it's frustrating. But I expect, and now this is, I said this last night, I expect Oklahoma City to win their two games in Oklahoma City, and I think it's going to be 2-2 coming back to San Antonio.
Yes, Chesapeake Arena, that's a tough place to play. The fans are behind them all the way, and truly that sixth man out on the floor. Stacey King with us about two more minutes this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Let's shift avenues. Just another great playoff performance with the Celtics in NBA history of Rajon Rondo. I mean, what a stat line, 44 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. I mean, this guy is something special.
Yeah, he is. And I've always said, if he could ever develop a jump shot, he would be unguardable. He's the guy, there's only two guys in the league that I feel that could, if they really focused in on it and they really wanted to do it, they could average a triple-double, he'd be one of them, and he'd be one guy, and LeBron James would be the other. They're both capable of doing it. It'd be really tough to do in an 82-game season, but I could see him doing it because he really controls the tempo of the game. He gets everybody involved. He rebounds. He gets steals. He's a complete player. And last night, I think everybody saw that he's not as bad a shooter as everybody thinks.
That's right. He was stretching the D. Yes.
Yeah, he can make some shots. So I think right now Boston's overmatched because they have so many injuries. They run into the same problems the Bulls had. You know, they're just shorthanded. They, you know, guys are dropping like flies, and you're playing against a team who's semi-healthy. You know, even though Bosch is out, you still got two of the best players in the world on the same floor. So, and they're healthy. So, you know, it's tough for Boston, but I think they'll get one game in Boston because just the pride factor. But, you know, Miami's just a little bit too much for them right now.
Well, and it is remarkable because Miami, I mean, they survived their miscues and the fact that they were down in game two by 15 points in the first half. My goodness, they were down 11 in the third quarter, and to be able to make those winning plays down the stretch when it matters the most.
Yeah. Boston just ran out of gas, though. I mean, when you're up 16 points, and, you know, you're doing exceptionally well. The telling point in that game last night is the hustle points. When you look at points in the paint, Miami had a clear advantage there. You know, second chance points, the hustle points. You know, Miami just outworked them. And it's not because, you know, Miami's a better team. It's the fact that, you know, Boston ran out of gas in that, you know, in that second half. They just didn't have the bodies to give these guys breaks. I mean, Doc Rivers played his big four, you know, 45 minutes or more. Rondo never came out of the game.
Wow. Stacey King, we appreciate you so much coming on to our program this weekend. We always like to give you the opportunity to give a plug for the Chicago Bulls Stacey King merchandise. I love that bobblehead. We were talking about that earlier. It just needs to say Boomer Sooner. I mean, come on. How did that not happen?
You know what? I tried to get that on there, but Fans Edge mixed it.
Listen, you've got a very busy summer. We've got to send out a congratulations. You're getting married in the month of July. Wow.
Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it. Getting married in Hawaii. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll be busy this summer. I'll be doing a lot of things this summer. I'm starting to get into public speaking now. So that's going to be something I'm going to get into. I'm going to be doing some radio here in Chicago. So there's a lot of stuff I'm getting into. So I'm going to watch my kids continue to grow. So I got my boys on from summer for some school. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too.
Well, continued success, Stacey. We look forward to catching up with you when the fall rolls around. So enjoy your break, and we'll talk again real soon, okay?
Thanks, E.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.